I met somebody yesterday at a home program in Palatine, young American fellow, well, in his early 40s, saying, I've read many spiritual books, started looking and reading and very interested, and then someone gave me one of Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita, and I lost interest in reading those other books. It's kind of getting very focused now, and he was sharing that one of the things he really likes is how Prabhupada is real direct and real strong. And people, he said, I like it. You know, people may not like it, but I like it. Makes everything really clear. So these verses are along that line. Really direct. No, you know, fussing around. Just strong. So get ready. The Sanskrit satyam, because this first verse, 33, is referred to in the next and the next. Satyam, shocham, dhaya, maunam, buddhi, shrir, hrir, yashak, kshama, samo, damo, bhagash, cheti, yat, sangad, yati, Sangshayam. Translation. He becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, fortune, and all such opportunities. So who's that he that's being referred to? That he is from the previous verse. Living entity associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people, engaged in the pursuit of sexual enjoyment and the gratification of the palate. He again goes to hell as before. So the he is the person who becomes the victim, or by choice choosing unwholesome association, specifically of these two kinds, tongue and genital, not in control. That person, because the previous verse is referring to two chapters ago where living entity descends into the hellish condition of life as a result of adverse fruitive activities. So then he goes through the cycle and comes back again to the human form of life. Comes to the human form of life. He does the same thing again, back down again. And the same thing again, impetus, association with unwholesome people, or persons who are attached to unwholesome things, and specifically the tongue and the genital. Just exactly as Rupa Goswami teaches, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. So the tongue and the genital. Prabhupada spoke about this so much. These two senses must be controlled. You control the one, it helps to control the other. You don't control the tongue, you're not going to control the other. And unwholesome association means one isn't going to control either. That's the message here. So that's the he. And from that, all good qualities become destroyed. And the list of good qualities is found in the verse. So it implies the converse is his message from chapter 25. Protection from Maya is sadhu sangha. If you want to glide to hell, associate with asadhu, with unwholesome people. Guaranteed. You'll reach your destination. Sooner or later. Probably sooner. Okay, so this is Prabhupada puts on the boxing gloves and lets us have it. Very straightforward. Purport. Those who are too addicted to sex life cannot understand the purpose of the absolute truth, nor can they be clean in their habits, not to mention showing mercy to others. They cannot remain grave, and they have no interest in the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is Krishna or Vishnu, but those who are addicted to sex life cannot understand their ultimate interest is Krishna consciousness. Such people have no sense of decency, and even in public streets or public parks, they embrace each other just like cats and dogs and pass it off in the name of lovemaking. Such unfortunate creatures can never become materially prosperous. Behavior like that of cats and dogs keeps in the position of cats and dogs. They cannot improve any material condition, not to speak of becoming famous. Such foolish persons may even make a show of so-called yoga, but they are unable to control the senses in the mind, which is the real purpose of yoga practice. Such people have no opulence in their lives. In a word, they are very unfortunate. And he doesn't stop. He keeps going, the next verse and the next verse. One should not, translation for text 34, one should not associate with a coarse fool. The Sanskrit is ashanteshu mudeshu. Shanta and ashanta. Ashanteshu mudeshu, a coarse fool. One should not associate with such persons, coarse fool, who is bereft of knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. Well, Kapila Dev is pretty strong too here. He's talking to his mother. Who happens to be a woman. So, ladies, don't get offended. Purport. The restriction of association with such foolish persons is especially meant for those who are in the line of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Advancement in Krishna consciousness involves developing the qualities of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, intelligence and spiritual knowledge, simplicity, material opulence, fame, forgiveness, and control of the mind and the senses. All these qualities are to be manifested with the progress of Krishna consciousness. But if one associates with a Shudra, a foolish person who is like a dancing dog in the hands of a woman, then he cannot make any progress. Lord Chaitanya has advised that any person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and who desires to pass beyond material nations must not associate himself with women or with persons interested in material enjoyment. Such a person seeking advancement in Krishna consciousness, such association is more dangerous than suicide. So, it's a little clarification. It's kind of obvious, but in case it's not. There's a wrong understanding of the caution and a proper understanding of the caution. It's not like in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, It was the wrong understanding. It was the flip side of attachment, meaning aversion. You know, women are witches and women are Maya, and, you know, because I guess that makes men are like gods and women are witches. It's not that kind of, that's a wrong understanding. In fact, Prabhupada, in several places, takes it the opposite, saying, when this kind of language is used, women are da-da-da-da, it means the same thing for women that men are da-da-da-da. You know, meaning the unwholesome kind of association. So what's wholesome and what's unwholesome? Unwholesome is where the objective is enjoyment on the bodily platform. And it may not even start like that. It may start like, you know, something else. But if one is not Krishna conscious and striving for Krishna consciousness, then it can easily go in that direction if that striving for Krishna consciousness component is weak. That's the kind that should be carefully guarded against, unrestricted, unwholesome association where the object, the goal is, here's a person who's an object for me to enjoy, whether it's woman towards a man or man towards a woman. You know, it's common, the man towards a woman, but it works the other way also. This fellow I met yesterday was describing to me how he got introduced to Krishna consciousness, and it was one of those, a friend of his was with a very beautiful woman. The beautiful woman abandoned his friend and started, he didn't like graphically describe it, started coming on to me. And I wasn't interested, so she left. But that kind of unwholesome association, I didn't ask for the details. But just as women have a special built-in radar. This is not scriptural, it's just, I've noticed. They understand when a man is, has an unwholesome intention. Even just by glance, what to speak of all the rest of body language and so forth. Women can understand. And men can understand too. So it's that the target of you're an object and I want to enjoy you as an object idea. That's the contamination that's to be avoided. And we're going to hear in the next one, even if it's not, you know, the person, it's association with such persons who have that mentality. It's so contaminating, you become contaminated. Text 35. This is a verse that's referred to from time to time. The infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. Purport. Here he's got the boxing gloves on again. Attachment to women is so contaminating that one becomes attached to the condition of material life not only by the association of women, but the contaminated associations of persons who are too attached to them. There are many reasons for our conditional life in the material world, but the topmost of all such causes is the association of women, as will be confirmed in the following stanzas. So it's not over with this. It keeps going. Paragraph. In Kali Yuga, association with women is very strong. In every step of life, there is association with women. If a person goes to purchase something, the advertisements are full of pictures of women. The psychological attraction for women is very great, and therefore people are slack in spiritual understanding. We'll come back to that. The Vedic civilization, being based on spiritual understanding, arranges association with women very cautiously. Out of the four social divisions, the members of the first order, namely Brahmacharya, the third order, Vanaprastha, and the fourth order, Sannyas, are strictly prohibited from female association. Only in one order, the householder, is there license to mix with women under restricted conditions. In other words, attraction for women's association is the cause of material conditional life, and anyone interested in being freed from this conditional life must detach himself from the association of women. So we have a divorce attorney seated right outside, and anybody that wants to make spiritual progress and spiritual understanding can meet that fellow and he'll help you. That's not the message. It's the unwholesome kind. Although he's not saying that again and again, he's saying it, you know, that's the message, the unwholesome kind of association. And when there's the wholesome kind, then say it a few different ways. One should be clear, this is not a license for, now I have a license to be an enjoyer of this object, whether it's the man towards the woman or the woman towards the man. He is not the object for the woman to fulfill her material desires, and vice versa. That goes on, but that's not the progressive purpose. The progressive purpose is shared service together, given affinity that's there. So male, female attraction affinity. Then the institution of religious marriage to assist one another. And then it's uplifting. Even something that's uplifting, then one has to be cautious. It's not the same, but it's similar to using something, using technology, using a computer, using a car, using something. In service to Krishna, when we use something in service to Krishna, we have to be careful that the consciousness behind engaging with that object of the sense is it's for the service of Krishna. Because otherwise we can, if that's not strong and not operative, we can be engaged by the illusory energy and becoming covered. Get in your car. Zoom, zoom, off you go. Very powerful machine. And, of course, driving carefully is important instead of driving recklessly. But one can become, conditioned to a sense of whatever it is, being an enjoyer of this facility. It's not for the purpose of a devotee, that's not the purpose. You're not the enjoyer of some facility. Now I'm entitled because of whatever the entitlement. I worked hard in studies and I got a job and now I got a car. Yay, I'm an enjoyer. It's not so common to think like that. It's kind of like a subset of how we think. It's just we take it for granted. Anyway, a devotee must be cautious when entering into the affairs of the material world. On the one hand, we're bold and even daring and confident. Just a little sharing. What Prabhupada did to manifest Krishna consciousness in the West was bold and daring. Some devotees shared with me they were visiting in Udupi, and they developed a nice relationship with the Udupi personalities, because there's sannyasi and there's the grihastha manager duet in each one of the mats of Madhvacharya in Udupi. So, skipping a lot of detail, there was an event where they wanted to understand something about, you know, what brings you all together, and that what brings us all together is Prabhupada. So they showed a video of Prabhupada, Your Ever Well Wisher, one of those. And there was a scene of Prabhupada chanting in Golden Gate Park with hippies dancing and, you know. And their comment afterwards is, we could never do that. We could never do that. We would fall down. That your Swamiji is very powerful. He went in the midst of all of that and was totally fixed in his Krishna consciousness. Satsrup Maharaj told me this story once, while taking prasadam together. He was requested, when everything started at 22nd Avenue, and after some time Prabhupada sent devotees in different places to create further centers, one in San Francisco and one in Montreal. So when Satsrup Maharaj was sent, then he was a grihastha, he was sent to Boston. So in those early days, they had like next to nothing. They had no money. They didn't own a place. They didn't have a car. So Prabhupada came and he flew from New York to Boston, and Satsrup Maharaj picked him up in a taxi because they didn't have a car. And so the Boston taxi driver was one of these guys who's, you know, looking over his shoulder, talking to the people in the back seat, saying, so, you're one of those Swamijis, huh? Prabhupada said, yes. Said, what does that mean, Swami? And from the back seat, Prabhupada said, Swami means one can be in a room full of naked women and not be disturbed. Men went, oh. And Satsrup Maharaj's comment was, I don't know if the taxi driver really understood Prabhupada's point. But even in agitating circumstances, to not be agitated. And how that's possible, how the mind and senses can be brought under control, it's exactly Devahuti's question. It's through sadhu sangha. And then the opposite is through asadhu sangha, everything good becomes destroyed, including control of the mind and control of the senses and all good qualities. And there isn't, as far as dealing in the material world, we should be, you know, enlightened by these verses of and purports of Prabhupada. While everything in this world, even the littlest thing, someone can be attached to their socks or, you know, something. But there isn't anything that's as powerful and bewildering influence than association with the opposite sex, so that one should be very, very careful. It doesn't mean a phobia or something like that, or just cautious. Like when you get in your car, you don't have a phobia about getting in the car, but you have to be cautious, because even you're careful, you can get slammed. So defensive driving, and anyway, without all the elaboration, we have to be careful. And there isn't anything in this world that equals the care that needs to be exercised in male-female association. That's what Kapila Deva is teaching. Prabhupada is saying it, and there's more verses that are going to say it some more. One other thing I want to mention. Yeah. The other thing is, these good qualities are, go back and read the exact language, but it's something that a devotee is meant to manifest. So it's possible to manifest when the connection with Krishna is strong. And then, in one sense, automatically they manifest. Or, in another sense, because the connection with Krishna is strong, we want to improve the quality of our service to Krishna, and so we may cultivate these qualities, and then Krishna decorates with these qualities. Different way of saying the same thing. But we're meant to develop these qualities. It's something like we've all heard this example, the staircase and the elevator. The Vedic process offers both. The staircase method is lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of progressively engaging in karmakanda rituals, jnanakanda activity, and then eventually coming to the stage of the topmost rung of the yoga ladder. Shradhavan bhajate yomam yame ukta. The process of devotional service is the topmost. So you can go progressively, step by step, by the staircase. Or one can, as Prabhupada has done, and Krishna authorizes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same, immediately engage people in devotional service. That's the elevator method. So you get in the elevator, you engage yourself in devotional service, not qualified person, but you engage yourself in devotional service, you get in the elevator, and you're lifted to the topmost position. You get out of the elevator, and supposing don't have mind control, don't have sense control, you're not compassionate, you're arrogant and, you know, boastful and, you know, what's with this person? Or, you know, somewhere not necessarily so extreme. It's incumbent upon each one of us to develop these qualities, because when we're taking up devotional service, we want to please Krishna. And one of the things that Sumangala asked this question, you know, in the evening session the other day, what about, you know, in the association of devotees, if this devotee or that devotee or collectively some devotees don't manifest these refined qualities, and you, because you expect, you took the elevator, you got off the topmost floor. Where are those good qualities? And then, you follow what I'm saying. And then a new person comes in and says, "Well, I like your books, but I don't like the way you behave." You know what I mean? I mean, maybe not so explicitly, but whoa. So it's incumbent upon us, not only so that new people say, "Oh, you people are nice," but so Krishna says, "Oh, you people are nice." It's part of our responsibility in devotional service to cultivate these qualities, and it takes some time because our conditioning is pretty strong. But we got on the elevator. It was extended to us. Come on in. Get in the elevator. Go to the topmost floor. All right, I'm heading for the topmost floor. then so cultivate these qualities for the pleasure of Krishna, and Krishna will help. If he sees that we want to please him, there may be some challenges along the way, and some circumstance or confrontational person or some difficulty or etc. That doesn't weaken the determination of the devotee, one who wants to please Krishna. It's part of duty. And one of the best ways to make that cultivation is associate with sadhus. Associate with persons who have such qualities. Like this question yesterday evening about how to cultivate humility. Well, associate with devotees who are humble. And try to emulate them or follow their example. You take on their qualities. And similarly, all these qualities. So, essential is finding sadhus or becoming a sadhu, becoming sadhu-like. Striving for that so that we can be able, in a position of service, to propagate or further those qualities within the world and within those that come for devotee association at the temple or in our bhakti vriksha groups or wherever we our lives may take us. So we're cautious on the one side and we're enthusiastic and eager on the other side. Now the other side also means we have to be careful against offenses against such persons. So, you know, we have to be thoughtful. And a little bit of common sense really helps a lot. Sometimes devotees need a little help in that common sense department. It helps a lot. Again, associate with persons that have common sense. It'll help you get some common sense. Okay. So any discussion? You always have the first question. You get one question only, though.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
From text 34, Maharaj, when you are reading, there were around 10 qualities that were described that should be cultivated. And I heard it as one of them as gravity. Could you shed some more light on that?
Sure. Dhira. You know the meaning. Dhira. D-H-I-R-A. Dhira is gravity. Dhira means even when there's cause for disturbance, you remain undisturbed. It's gravity. That's the meaning. That's possible when you're strongly connected to Krishna. Impersonalists are not strongly connected to Krishna, so they may try for gravity by biting the bullet, just not showing any emotion. Not this or that, just blank, numb. That's not gravity, that's numb, that's dull. Gravity, so cultivate it. Cultivating is make your connection with Krishna very strong, and then the circumstances outside can be this extreme or that extreme or somewhere in between. And you remain undisturbed because your connection with Krishna is very strong. And then you just consider appropriate ways to serve Krishna in the circumstance that Krishna is providing. That's gravity. Undisturbed. Prabhupada explains it, same thing, but embellishment. To not be disturbed when there's no cause for disturbance isn't something wonderful. But when there's cause for disturbance and one remains undisturbed, that's something wonderful. That is Dhira. Sober. Not intoxicated. Intoxicated is, I'm infatuated with the material energy. When it's like this, I'm joyful. When it's like that, I'm sad. Dhira is unmoved. Because there's another happiness, another contentment, another joy. My relationship with Krishna, my connection with Krishna. That's what's meaningful to me. Or one who is Dhira, that's meaningful. And the other is, it comes and it goes. So as it comes, I act appropriately. When it goes, I act appropriately. All the while inwardly cultivating further my attachment to Krishna and connection with Krishna. That's Dhira. Gravity. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Two of the qualities listed are simplicity and material opulence. How do they go together, Maharaj?
Let's see what the Sanskrit is for material opulence. Well, the Sanskrit is Shri, or prosperity. Now, in the life of a devotee, there may be abundance or there may be scarcity. When there's scarcity, the devotee is happy. When there's abundance, the devotee is happy. Because the happiness has nothing to do with whether there's abundance or scarcity. Krishna naturally supplies, he says in Bhagavad Gita, what one requires. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. So, in that sense, there's one sense of the term prosperity. Everything that you need, that's prosperity. Someone that's deprived, that's the opposite of prosperity. It's poverty. Now, one who is a Vaishya and one who is a Brahmana, their standard of prosperity may look very different. But the Brahmana who lives very simply is happy with what apparently to someone else is impoverished. Prabhupada was very fond of telling the story of the king in Krishna Nagar near Navadvip. His son was put in the care of a Brahmana, and his son was trained so nicely that the king was so pleased. He went to visit the Brahmana. He wanted to give him something for that nice service of training his son so nicely. When he went to the Brahmana's place, he was shocked that he's living in poverty. So he said to the Brahmana, I had no idea you were living in such poverty. Please let me do something for you out of appreciation for how well you've trained my son, the prince. And the Brahmana said to the king, I'm not in poverty. I have everything that I need. I have a tamarind tree in the backyard, and my wife takes tamarind from the tamarind tree and cooks it with rice, and we have a cow and have some milk from the cow, and I have everything I need, thank you. No, thank you. I'm very content. So for such a person, their apparent poverty is another side of their wealth. Prabhupada would use this explanation or term. Austerity is the wealth of a brahmana. The wealth of the brahmana is they're always undisturbed. They're always peaceful. That's great wealth. And one of the things that helps them is they don't feel the need for things. They don't feel the need for things because they have another contentment. That's their wealth. So look at it, you know, it's a play on words in one sense, but austerity is their wealth. Prosperity. So material opulence may look like material poverty in that case. But whatever one needs, Krishna provides. Or then one who has, because of the piety, spiritual piety of devotional service, then prosperity will come. Even, you know, in the material sense of prosperity. But the devotee doesn't become enamored by that prosperity. A devotee that's properly situated doesn't become enamored. Neither, you know, abundance or seeming, you know, scarcity. They're not celebrating and lamenting. No sochati na kangsati. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So in the sense of whatever it is that you need. And simplicity is, I really don't need so much. And as one progresses, one needs less. You know, in need, in the sense of, like, you know, we may need a certain amount of sleep, or we may need a certain amount to eat, or may need a certain amount of creature comforts. But then, as one advances in bhakti, that diminishes. So there may be things around you that you don't need, and then purposefully, the devotee will diminish, give things away, rather than accumulate. This happens naturally. Simplicity. At the same time, you have what you need, material prosperity. And other things than what you need, you give away. Understanding who those things belong to. You use them in service of Krishna in different ways. Looking at Radha Duti, you usually have a question too. You have one this morning? No? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I always struggle with the quality of enthusiasm. It's interfering with the quality of humble, being humble. So how do we present... how do we show the enthusiasm but still stay humble?
I got it. There's many ways of responding to that. Our confidence is in Krishna, not ourselves. So the enthusiasm is to be connected to Krishna and offer whatever it is that we can offer in service to Krishna. The confidence in that enthusiasm is Krishna's kindness, not my capacity. So humility is, I recognize my capacity, yet Krishna's kindness is big. So I'm enthusiastic for Krishna's, based on Krishna's kindness, for making some offering of service to him. Although I'm not qualified, I'm very tiny, I'm very weak, filled with imperfection, but Krishna's kindness is so big. And I'm enthusiastic for that kindness. Although I'm not qualified. So humility, the other is the mode of, the other notion of enthusiasm is passion. It's not transcendental. Transcendental enthusiasm is, I'm fully dependent upon Krishna. I mean, as an example, think of Hanuman. Was he enthusiastic? Was he humble? Fully dependent, but fully confident. So to be functional in the world, a reasonable quantum of self-confidence must be there, but self-confidence is not in me, it's in the capacity that Krishna gives. We can't function without some degree of self-confidence. The self-confidence is not me. Everyone that's been involved in Krishna consciousness for some time has a very clear realization about the ability that I didn't have to do so many things that's now there. And Krishna gave it. That's why it's there. And Krishna can take it away much more quickly than Krishna gives it. It's Krishna's ability. So let me honor that kindness of Krishna and using, so that the humility is there and the enthusiasm is also there. At the same time, they're not contradictory. If the conception is spiritual, they're not contradictory.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, we're going to end. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.